Hey, good morning, everybody. You're tuning into Engaging Walk. My name is Drake.
And my name is Ruby.
And you heard that correctly. We got Ruby back. She's back from maternity leave. And she's going to be joining us today. And today's episode is going to be all about motherhood from her perspective.
Woohoo!
So this episode is, it's, you know, not only that, we've also had a little bit of a hiatus trying to adjust to new parenthood. We had lots of grandparents on both sides visiting, and they were a big help. So now that we are on our own, it's been a fun and unique challenge, but
for sure, yeah,
hopefully we'll be able to get the reins of this and be able to bring episodes to you guys more frequently and more consistently. So but without further ado, we got Ruby back. So how are you feeling?
I feel good to be back. Even though I'm busy with my kid, I'm thinking about, you know, what can I share, what we're going to do next for Engaging Walk. But honestly, I feel tired all the time, which is, you know, that's mom thing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So what are some exciting and new things that have happened with the baby and without the baby, personally, that have happened since you've last been here? So about six months ago.
Like before, I think more than 6 months, because I think the last month of pregnancy that I didn't get on.
Yeah, so about 7 months now.
Yeah. Well, the difference is I have a baby, mm-hmm. and it has been wonderful. You know, like when you carry a baby, you felt the change, you felt the kicks and the moves, and you kind of connect with the baby. But when you see the baby, you hold the baby, it's a totally different ball game, and you get to know a person that comes from you, mm-hmm. and yet very unique, you know, personality, and it's very beautiful. And it's, I think, growing up, people, like, I heard my mom say, like, oh, you know, these have done this and that or sacrifice. But I feel like being a mother is a privilege and it's a blessing. And I haven't heard enough of that, you know, from people around me or, you know, on social media. But I want to shout out to being a mom is just so much fun, rewarding. Yes, of course, sacrifice and tiredness, and it's in the package, but it's just so much rewarding. A lot of sweet moment that you don't get to have it unless you be a mom. And before being a mom, I think one thing that stuck with me since I would say a teenager, that, well, let me tell you a story. So back in the day when I was just like, I think around 8 years old, or more, no, like 10 years old. And then I was playing, and then because we in Vietnam, and, you know, the street and the house is very close to each other. They don't have, like, a big, you know, space between. So anyways, then my brother, which is, like, 3 years old, he ran in front of me, and then he heading toward the street where a huge truck coming in, you know, this out direction, and I was I froze, I freaked out, and I just know that I shout out mom, and it was a nightmare because my body just froze. I couldn't run, any further to, you know, help my brother, but my mom from way from behind me ran, you know, and passed me and ran and got him right just a few moments before the truck, you know, can get him. So I was like, wow, I was scared. How could she do that? You know, and I could only answer that is mother, being a mother. Motherhood give you such the strength that you can surpass, you know, your fear and get your son or your daughter to the safe place. And that's something that I able to see it in me as I become a mom.
Mm-hmm.
And I think also that too, but something about mom, you know, is no longer your safety or your, of course you have to put you first, but somehow mom always, my child safety, my child is my priority. Yeah, I think I saw a reel on social media. I say like, when you become a mom, your priority completely change. And it's so true. You know, one of the proof, I won't say that's my priority, but you know, the time on my phone has decreased so tremendously. It's like throughout the week, I only have spent like 3 hours on the phone because I don't have time. And most of the time we'll ask Drake, where's my phone? I don't know. I don't know where's my phone in, you know, so.
Yeah. So what do you think is the most rewarding thing that you've had received from being a mom, a new mom?
The most rewarding thing that I received as a mom is my child development. I can see like she healthy and she's happy and she improving, developing every day. That's my rewarding, you know.
So seeing that development is in her and her changing and learning new things and skills is the most rewarding thing.
Exactly. Especially when the thing that you train her to and then she got it, like we train her to sit and then she got it. She able to sit by herself for a period of time, like a small period of time. And then we're working on crawling. So that is our goal for this next couple of weeks.
So you also mentioned that there was a new like strength that you have from being a mom, and you know, relating it to that story that you had with your mom, how she like was able to just run out and grab your brother with like with no fear. Like what? How is that different than during like the pregnancy? Do you get like a feeling for it during the pregnancy, and then like do you feel how does it change like over time?
I don't think a lot of, you know, women got changed during their pregnancy. I think I'm totally opposite. I was like, okay, I'll carry a baby. But I think this, the changing point when, delivery time, when I was in that room and it's down to my decision. Do you want to push the baby? Do you want medical support? Do you want, how do you want it? You know, because so a little bit of sharing into my story, I plan to have her vaginal deliver, but then something happened and my body didn't respond to that, so we ended up, I think I will have the whole package of delivery. Yeah, first I have inductions, I have because I have hypertension issue, so there you go. So that also add on to the drugs that are on my body. And I don't usually take, you know, medication. So it's hard to focus and push. So after pushing for like 4 hours, after dilated, and then the doctor said, like, I think you need to choose another option. And for me, to be honest, I'm like, I wanted to keep pushing, and but Drake's like, I think maybe you should look into the other options, but it's up to you. I hate to make a choice. That's why you were there, Drake. You supposed to help me to make decision, but he looked at me like, that's your body, you need to make your decisions for yourself. But it's not, and it doesn't like stop with me, it's affect the girl. So I'm like, oh gosh. So so I decided to have a C-section. So yeah, I have all package in one delivery.
Yeah, I told her I recommend the C-section, but you know, it's up to you.
So
because she it was a grueling like almost 3 days at that point.
Yeah. So anyways, I think that moment to understand to like isn't my decision does not only affect me, but also affect her. And she, I feel like she doesn't have, she needs someone to protect her. She needs someone to look out for her, and that's being a parent, you know. The child will not able to share or tell their needs until they can speak for themselves. But right now she can't. She just cry and, you know, eye contact with you. But as a parent, you have to make the best decision for your daughter, for your son. So I think that moment, the doctor looked at me like, what are you going to do now? Are you going to do the C-sections, or are you going to do other, the forceps, right? Or
yeah,
the
vacuum? They were like, oh, we could do forceps or vacuum and with like a 30% success rate.
I'm like, no. So, but for me, like, and then people are like, don't take the C-sections because, you know, it's painful, whatever. It's not painful because you have drug, but after the recover, it's very hard. But I'm like, I'd rather her be saved and enter the world, smoothly. Is she already, trying to get out 4 hours already? So I think that moment really changed me and being to a mom. Like, mm-hmm. I cannot shy away from my decision for my child. And I have to say yes to it, because if I'm not, nobody's going to do it. And her safety is my priority.
So how did it feel holding her for the first time?
I felt finally I can meet the girl, the person that in my womb. It was not that emotional as I thought. I think to think about the delivery day, I think the most memorable moment was her cry, because I was in the room, and then I was like, I remember the doctor said, oh, here she is, and then I was like, there's no cry. So I remember talking to her, whispering to her. Of course, she couldn't hear me because she's so far away from me, but it's like, cry, come on, cry, Olive, cry. And then
because you couldn't see her.
Yeah, I couldn't see her. And I say, cry, Olive. And then I think after that few seconds, she cried, but a very cute one. But not like a loud one. She like somebody wake me up. Who's that? I think, and mind you, because I'm still, you know, full of epidural drugs and everything, so my mind was not that clear. I think the moment came to me when they moved me back to the room, and I held her, and she finally like quiet down and calm, and that was like, aw, that's so sweet. That is just so so much. I mean, so easy for me, because, you know, people trying to calm her, but the moment you put her on me, on my chest, that's it. She just like, oh, so cozy, and I feel like so such a nice connection. Mm-hmm. It's very, I don't know, it's just so sweet, and I don't know what's the word for it. Imagine this. You have a very cute, fluffy puppy or a cat, if you're a cat person, and you put it on you, and the cat and the kitten and the pup was like melting down to your chest. That is the closest I can share. But it's not an animal. It's your child, your own child that you carry, and it's just like, oh, so sweet. But that is the best explanation or illustration that I can give to you.
So you feel like you became a stronger person and a stronger sense of attachment and affection towards your child. And what other changes have you noticed that came along with motherhood?
I feel like I'm more soft. I become softer and more gentle toward her, and also a lot of reflections being a mom, reflections back to my mom, how she had been brought me up. and things that she's talking about motherhood now, I experience self. Like, it's so much dimensions of touching moment when you become a mom, then I hand my baby to my mom, and the way that she treat my, or she loved on my baby, and reflect as she is my mom, how she used to do it to me. Without, like, of course you don't have a memory as a baby, but now you get to see it, you know. And it's kind of funny when my mom usually pick up my baby and say, and when my baby cries, she's trying to soothe my baby, and she's like, oh, my mommy's mama here. And I look at her and say, you mean grandma's here? You know? But it's very interesting journey when you get to see your mom treat your baby, and you reflect, oh, that how she treated me. And it just bring closer relationship between you and your mom. And you start understand more of your mom and appreciate her in a different way. And of course, you know, things that you would want to do to become a better mom.
Mm-hmm. So earlier you mentioned that one of the most rewarding things was the development process, seeing that, witnessing that, and helping her become, you know, hit all the milestones that she's going to have. And I think it was back in June,
mm-hmm,
that we had the homeschool convention.
Yeah.
So I know we talked on Engaging Walk a little bit about, like, education, but never in the context of family. So how do you see homeschooling becoming a thing since we made the decision that when she is school age that we're going to do homeschool here in California with her? So how did that convention and decision process come for you? Do you want to share with the people? And like how that works with motherhood?
Absolutely. I think homeschooling, after, you know, going coming back from conventions, I think homeschooling is definitely a yes for us, because it's just so much focus on the child and focus on the family, what the child needs. And as it clear out a lot of fears, I'm reading or listening to a book about homeschooling as well, because I want to educate myself about homeschool. But the more I step into that arena or that field, I feel like it brings so much child-centered, student-centered freedom in terms of curriculum, and remove the fear of teaching my child. Because a lot of moms will think, like, I don't know how to teach. I don't know. How can I teach, how can I teach my child if that subject is not my strength, or I just dislike the subject? That's also a chance for the person to look at the subject and study with the child again. But definitely, yes. I think one thing that I realized profoundly from that convention is that I cannot bring a classroom back to my house. It's not supposed to be like that, because classroom belongs at school, and school is different setup than home. And so I have been trying that before. I tried to put the classroom setup, prepare for Olive, but after the conventions, I think that is not a good way to do it. And also, there's so much freedom. There's so much freedom in choosing curriculum, in choosing the timeline, and it can tailor into my work. Let's say, like, I work 4 hours part-time, you know, then I can tailor to that schedule too when the child grow older. And I can travel and teach and the child. It doesn't bound to a location. So there's so much freedom in that. And it's just tailored into the child needs. And
the child's needs, right?
Yeah. the child needs, and you can teach so much things. You don't have to, like, again, because of freedom in curriculum, you can teach about gardening, you can teach about politics, you can teach about the Bible, you can teach music, or you can teach so many things, finance, you know, different soft skills that, and then one thing, I'm sorry, so many things about development too, and let's say, what is that?
The character?
Like the child, when you send the child into the school and then they learn from their friends, their peers, mm-hmm. and they have peer pressure, your child won't face peer pressure and at homeschool because they're going to spend with you. And so a lot of safe environment, you control the environment, they pretty much learn from you instead of someone else, and they are respect from that. They will know bully because, you know, old school violence, they won't have that.
Mm-hmm.
And then one of the fear, I went to one of the workshops talking about like 10 fears of homeschooling, and also mentions on the book. Socializing people concerned about it, but to be honest, you will have a lot of socialized because you spend time with your kids, right? And then you also meet up with, let's say they do clubs or they do outside activities with, they will have friends, and that's natural. Instead of, you know, put all kids in the same age in one classroom and learn from each other, you know.
Yeah, that's so there's sounds like there's a lot of benefits to homeschooling. There's not just the aspect of like being able to control the curriculum and being able to control and tailor the education plan towards that child. And expose them to different subjects that they wouldn't otherwise be exposed to in a public school. But interestingly enough, Ruby and I have both spent time as public school teachers. And one of the things that I can tell you is a lot of the time from a teacher's perspective is establishing the sort of like norms and routines around like what we call like classroom management. Which is like the disciplinary, like kind of like structure of the classroom where, you know, we can't get the children to learn if they're not able to learn and if they're not functioning together, because it's not just like one child. There's 20 or so, maybe even more.
Sure.
And if we're not establishing those classroom norms and behaviors and classroom management, you know, making sure that they can learn, making sure that they understand like the systems. And it's however many students you have is how difficult that's going to be. Because if you have 30 kids and you're tailoring it to 30 kids and like trying to get them all bought in and trying to like reinforce that, then there's a lot of time that's spent towards that that could be spent towards actually going over content, actually going over learning techniques and then going over a different, you know, it is a skill in and of itself to being able to work with others, but that is not the only setting in which children can learn that. Like, even if, like you were saying, like we spend time doing like team sports or going out into town and socializing children that way, where we could go, you know, hey, let's go to the market and, you know, you're going to do the transaction, you know, and those sorts of things are going to help the children to become socialized. And, you know, another thing that when someone said about like homeschooling that makes sense, like that you were talking about is the situation in which a child is in a room with everyone that they're exact same age or so is an unnatural setting. There's no other setting in life where you're going to go through where everyone is their same age. And you're not engaging with people that are younger, older, way older. And like even like the workplace is like that. You have young people, older people, you know, people of different age groups all working together. And like all those things are, you know, not necessarily a disadvantage for a child that has a more structured environment at a homeschool, especially if they're able to gain a lot of these other skills, like you mentioned, like finance, understanding of finance, understanding of taxes, understanding of other different techniques and subjects that are kind of like not really taught in the schools anymore, or maybe they're just glossed over. And like I know, like there was a woman that came over to our house. I was talking about how she homeschooled her kids, and like she just spent a lot of the time focusing on art because that was how her daughter learned, was through art. You know, so that's there's a lot of things that can really benefit the child from that kind of environment.
And as Drake mentioned, there's another thought came to my mind. Another benefit from doing homeschool is that you get to know your kids even more, because like what is Olive gonna be love language? What is Olive gonna be her what is the word? Operational skills. Mm-hmm. What is the, those are the things that go that she fond of or tune in, and you'd get to experience that with your child instead of have a teacher doing that for you and telling you, oh, she did that at school. You know, you discover that journey with your child. And I think that create a better bond, because, you know, when you hit, you know, teenager, you won't have that separation, or I no longer know my child, or that person, my child turned to another person I don't know because of that, you know, 8-hour separation, or learning from different people and the environment that you not cannot control. So doing homeschool allow you to understand, and also, of course, I'm not saying like you know your child, but of course there's always an effort, intention to know the person. But I'm saying that you get to discover that with your child, and it's going to be create a better bond as they continue to develop into their adulthood.
So, with that, is there any last ideas or things that you want to give to the audience about your journey through motherhood at this point, and some final thoughts on it? So I asked Ruby, what sort of like last thoughts that you have towards motherhood that you would like to impart onto the audience? And she was like, wait, pause it. I don't have anything in mind. So in the little like break that we had, she's like, have more children. And she's like, no, that's not a serious answer, but it is. So because a lot of people say, okay, well, I had that one child. I can never do it again, you know, and everyone's decision-making process is different, of course, when it comes to having children. But why did you come to the idea that have more children, or you want to have more children? How did having one child make you want to have more?
Because it's have been so wonderful to see her, to get to know a person in your womb, and you know, walk through the journey with her. It's amazing when so many times I was talking to Drake or someone else or doing my thing, and then when I, you know, check back on her, she was gazing at me, and she's like, what's mama's doing? And that is just make my day, you know. That little human look up to you, and you the source of comfort, source of pretty much everything in their life right now. And there will be one day they were like, okay, I'm good, I can do my own thing. But it's just so rewarding, and it's like a surprise present from Christmas, which is from God. Mm-hmm. That, you know, when you have a child, you don't know how it turned out. Even though we can trace back to like the
conception,
the conception, but not only like the my motherhood brain kicks in, the scan.
Oh, the ultrasound.
The ultrasound. Thank photos. You. My brain has been like not working. So the ultrasound, the feature that we saw on the ultrasound, we can like look. She looked exactly like that right now. So it's just so interesting, very interesting journey when you get to know a person in you. Of course, you don't know the face and the personality and whatever that the person take after from you. Like Olive, just 2 or 3 days old, she already make my own make the sound like me, like eh, and I never taught her that. So it's gonna be interesting how she responds to certain thing exactly like her mom, but I never show her, and that happened to a lot of people. If you're a parent, you know what I'm talking about. Even like traits that you wish they not taking after you. Anyways. But yeah, it's very rewarding, and it's just so nice to take care of little human. So that's my answer. I know it's silly, but have more children if you can.
Is there any kind of advice that you have to soon-to-be moms for the first time?
Learn to take care of yourself very well, and constantly invest in yourself, in your health, in your in who you are, because you will train for that into your baby, and you verbally or non-verbally, you will impact your little human. So learn to invest yourself and love on yourself well.
I think all that was really beautiful. So with that, we're going to be wrapping up today's episode on motherhood. We want to also give a quick shout out to all of the new listeners. Even though we've been on a bit of a hiatus, we've had lots of new people tuning into the show. And we really appreciate that. We love you guys. It's so many people from Sweden, Germany, all over Western Europe, some parts of Eastern Europe. We had some folks in India.
From down under, too.
Yeah, from down under in Australia, some like India, Bangladesh, Nepal area. We also had some folks tuning in. I think it was from Africa, like East. What was it? Yeah, East Africa.
Mm-hmm.
We have some people from Brazil, some people from Honduras, Canadians. And then, of course, we have people from all over the United States, especially California, Washington, D.C. area, Chicago area, Milwaukee, and there was one other big hub, Texas, and
California home state.
And tons of listeners from California. We're over here in California, but wherever you are, wherever you're listening to this, we love you guys. Thank you so much for listening. You can find us on YouTube. You can find us on Facebook. And
Instagram.
And of course, we're going to be having more content for you guys. And yeah, we look forward to doing a new series. The series that seemed to be the most popular with everybody was the Gottman series. So we're going to be doing a lot more deep diving into that and also exploring parenthood. You know, we've seen actually more and more people out on the internet talking about the idea. Like for us, it's called engaging walk, right? Mm-hmm. Like I feel like we patented it, this idea of going on walks together. But there is a lot of new research that is out there right now that shows that what we're talking about is true. And it's proven by science that, or I should say scientific data, not science, but scientific data that shows that when couples go out together, especially on walks, and they go out with the intention of engaging with one another, an engaging walk, then it has tremendous benefits for the relationship. And you know, going, and now we have another person to bring along with us on a stroller. And that time together is very unique and it's very beautiful. And, you know, whatever time that we can set aside for our families is very precious. Our schedules get busy. You know, Ruby might be home with the baby, but our together time as a family when I get back home from work is precious and is beautiful. So much to look forward to in the future. And we're excited to do it with you guys.
And again, thank you so much for spending time with us. You make our days, and especially when we find out like there's so many new listeners. And thank you again. Thank you for spending time with us. And have a nice day.
Make sure to also give us a rating. If you do like the content, just give us a little thumbs up, a 5-star, or any kind of acknowledgement content comments that show us that you like the content. And with that, my name is Drake.
And my name is Ruby.
And we are from Engaging Walk. We will see you guys next time. Bye-bye.